I'm Haley, author of the book blog Brook and Binding.
I'm Maddie, upcoming debut author, and this is
Lit Sis.
If you can't get enough of Lit Sis, and we know you can't, there's a really easy way to stay connected to us all the time, just from your phone on Instagram. You can stay in contact with me, Maddie, at Maddie Reads a Lot. That's at M-A-D-D-Y Reads a Lot.
And you can follow me at Brooke and Binding, B-R-O-O-K-E-A-N-D-B-I-N-D-I-N-G. It's a long one.
Yes.
At Instagram.
But wait, there's more. You can also follow us at Lit Sis Podcast now, where you'll see, we'll get both of us in a combined thing, all just about this podcast instead of just about our reviews. So you'll see information about the podcast, if we want to put any announcements up there, as well as ways to engage with each new episode. And that is at L-I-T-S-I-S Podcast. And also don't forget, if you want longer versions of Haley's reviews, Haley, what website can they go to?
brookandbinding.com. Can't wait Woo! To interact with you guys and to see what you are reading too.
All right, back to the books.
Happy Friday, Lit Sisters.
Hello, happy Friday.
I hope you guys are all having a good happy Friday so far. I am unfortunately slightly sick. So I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. It's a little, my throat's been a little bit scratchy. I was telling my husband today, and I was actually telling our dad, that it's very frustrating because I have like a scratchy throat, and I know exactly where I got it from. One of my patients at work has a cold, and I know I got it exactly from her. And so I know it's just a cold, but like my throat's been scratchy. I've had like barely a cough and I'm very tired, and that's literally it. And I told them, I was like, it's so frustrating because I feel otherwise completely fine. It's just kind of like annoying. These are random, like annoying symptoms.
Yeah, that so totally makes sense.
If my voice sounds a little odd, that's how my Friday's going.
Oh man. Well, I think it sounds pretty okay. Maybe a Good. Little bit like, but not too much.
Little vocal fry.
Little vocal fry, but not horrible. No, I mean, when you said that you were not feeling good the other day, I was like, oh, that is such a bummer, because you were just coming off of a stint of like having time off from your work, and then you picked it back up a little bit, and so you're kind of getting back in a routine. And so I can see how frustrating that would be, of like getting back into, you know, regular scheduled work time and starting to not feel very good. So hopefully, if you got some tea or something to help your throat, or some lozenges to suck on or something like that, you should be golden. Just try to get some rest.
Yes, picked up some lozenges and some Dayquil, and I got my melatonin to help me get good sleep. So I should be good. Yeah. And hopefully, to segue into what we're talking about today, hopefully now that we're done reading Grady Hendrix, How to Sell a Haunted House, we may be able to sleep a little bit better at night, both of us.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the past like 3 nights, I've had intentions to read this book and finish it, but I could not get myself to pick this book up and read it at nighttime. I was that freaked out. I was like, I can only read during the day. I got to do something else at night because I cannot read this book at night. But on Wednesday night, I actually did pick it up and finish it and read like probably half of it in like one sitting. And I wasn't afraid. I was like, yay. Good. Because I think like the first half, there's a lot of suspense that builds and a lot of creepy factor. And then like halfway through, it's kind of like, okay, game plan. And it kind of becomes more of like action and like mystery and kind of solving some stuff versus like more creepiness, if that makes sense.
No, yes, I agree with that. I feel like the creepiness kind of, I don't know, there were some moments where I was like, but there's definitely more of like a, oh, this is where we're at now. We got to kind of solve the situation.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and you finished it before me.
Yes.
Which was fine by me. And I had like a feeling. So you finish it Wednesday night. I finish it Thursday during the day. And I had a feeling for some reason when I went to bed on Wednesday, I was like, I feel like I'm going to wake up and Haley's going to finish the book. And then, of course, I wake up to a text from like 12:15 my time that you were like, finished. And I was like,
well, I had finished it a little bit before that, but I had forgotten to message you. So I was like, oh, I might as well still tell her I finished it.
How
so
I finished it a little bit
earlier. Yeah. Yeah. I pumped it out in like probably an hour and a half or 2 hours, like the second half of the book.
I'm really impressed.
Blew through it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I read only like 120 pages the next day. So not bad.
No, that's not horrible.
So overall, let's just kind of dive into it. How did you end up rating this? I didn't actually even look on your Goodreads to see if you'd already rated it.
I have. I am. Hopefully sometime today I will get my review posted. I have it in the works, but it's not complete yet. And so once that is done, you'll obviously see an update on my Instagram and on my story that it is up. So it'll give a little bit more detail behind why and just my thoughts, you know, just the way I usually like to do it. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to be giving this 3.5.
3.5. Okay.
Yeah. And all I'm pretty right. sure you did a 4, right?
I did that do a I saw. 4.
Okay, yes. Okay.
All right. I was between a 3 and a 4, but I feel like the end and like the explanation, I feel like it all like wrapped up really well for me.
Yeah, I did like that. And we'll obviously get into that part when mm-hmm. we get to maybe a bit of a spoiler section later. But yes. First off, let's maybe give a little bit of synopsis of what this story is about. And I currently have the book in front of me, so okay. I can read parts of what is in the inside of the jacket here.
Yeah, go for it. I do not have mine with me at the moment.
Because essentially, like, I was thinking to myself, I was just looking at it, but there is some elements to the story that I did not know about when I picked it up.
Agree.
And I was curious if it kind of gives it away in this little description. And I don't really think it does. So I think okay. we're good there.
Because you and we neither of us read the description before no. we read the book.
Yeah. It was like, oh, a new Grady. We're doing it.
Yeah.
So that's why I was kind of like, I'm a little thrown off by a part of this element of the story.
Yes.
And, you know, I think once, like I said, the second half of the story started to really progress, then I felt like I could emotionally distance myself from the terror and problem solve. But essentially, so there is this girl named Louise, and when she finds out that her parents have both died in a car accident, she does not want to go back to her hometown, which is in Charleston, South Carolina. And she has currently been living in San Francisco with her daughter, Poppy, and just been establishing her own life out there. Mm-hmm. She has a younger brother named Mark, who has kind of been like a problem child. He hasn't really stuck to anything for a long time. Oh, goodness. Sorry about that. Sometimes when I read or talk out loud, I start to yawn. Does that happen to you?
I feel that for sure.
I'll be like reading out loud to like one of my kids and I just like start to yawn. And I'm like, what is up with this? I think it's because I'm opening my mouth so much and all the oxygen is coming in. And I'm like, yes, please. I think it's because
you're getting old.
No.
Wait, you have kids?
Yes.
Oh, my.
I know. anyway, so she knows that her brother is nearby. He lives in the same town. And so she decides to fly back home and help her brother, like, set up the funeral arrangements and maybe get the house in order and hopefully sell it so they can get some profits off of that. And obviously to read the will. Mm-hmm. But their parents' house is just stuffed with, like, junk, essentially. And, like, see, look, here I go again. Oh, my word. I'm telling you, I can't talk for extended periods of time, apparently.
Apparently.
Well, because in class, I'm just sitting and listening all the time. So maybe I'm, like, I don't know. Maybe I need to work on my talking skills again.
I think
for extended periods of time. But when she flies back home, like, her parents just had a ton of stuff. Like, her father was an academic and her mom had this like puppetry, like ministry type thing, which I've never even heard of before. But so there's just like a ton of stuff all over the place. And she just doesn't want to, and doesn't even know where to start, essentially. So it all kind of wraps around that storyline of her, Louise, being back in Charleston and dealing with her parents who have died and dealing with their house and dealing with her brother. I don't really want to say more than that because I feel like that's a good baseline for anyone who, you know, even if, I mean, that's essentially a summary of what's on the inside of the cover as well. But yeah, I feel like definitely a few elements in the story took me by surprise. And I think a part of that is why I gave it a little bit of a lower rating. So I want to know your thoughts. So what were your thoughts overall with the story, with the characters? Like, why did you give it a 4-star?
Okay, so I gave it a 4-star because I had a little bit difficulty of time getting into it because, as we talked about, like, we didn't really read the description of the book before we read it. And I would agree that there was an element to it that I was like, oh, is this what it's going to be about? That's different than I would have thought for a haunted house. Okay, that's interesting. But then I will say it did. And I was like, I don't know how this can be creepy in a book. Because I was like, I can definitely imagine this would be creepy in a movie style and about this. But I was like, I just don't know if it's going to translate really well via a book. The reason I ended up giving it 4 stars is I feel like the second half of the book really carried it so well. And there were absolutely moments where I was like, that is terrifying. And like the fear that the characters felt really translated off the page, I think, really well. And then overall, I feel like the explanation for like, what the crap is even going on? Made a ton of sense. And I feel like it wrapped up the book nicely. And there was this one part that I, because you had finished it before me, I was like texting you like updates about where I was at. And I said that there was one part that my jaw literally dropped. And one before that, I like wrote in all caps because I was so freaked out about like this, like, change that had happened in the story. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's like you already got to see like the danger and then you think the danger is gone and then it appears again in an even worse way. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so I think that it really, like, the second half really wrapped me into it. It was also like the shortest amount, like I read the second half like in the span of a couple days, and the first half in the span of like a week. So really reading the second half very in a shorter amount of time really helped me to connect to the characters more, connect to the plot, and really let like the creepiness settle in. So I didn't give it a 5-star because, again, like the element of it was like, it wasn't something that I would like choose. I would say I wouldn't be like, ooh, creepy, let's read a book about that. But I think that Grady Hendrix did a really great job in kind of making an element of a book that I would not have voluntarily picked up to be to be good. I will say it's probably my second least favorite book of his. I put Horror Store as a 3-star last year. So I don't think it is as good for me as Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires or the Final Girl Support Group. But I still really enjoyed it and I will enjoy reading whatever he puts out.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. I was just thinking about, because you have read one more book. Sorry, I'm reading some of the other options here. You're I didn't even know he had like one or two other ones in here too, but, yeah, I would say this is probably my like least favorite out of the three we've read. But I like in the midst of it, I was like texting you of like, okay, do we have like an unreliable narrator here? Is someone going crazy? Who is sane and who is not sane? Because obviously the title, How to Sell a Haunted House, the house is haunted. I mean, there's no, you know, you cannot get away from that. And there's just so many little elements that kind of come to life in the story. And I was telling Matt, I was like, it's like a mixture of this movie and that movie, like all these classic horror, creepy things coming to life, like, you know, written on the window, like on the mirror, and like things like that are kind of tropish that are like occurring. And like, you can see, like, I could like see this in my head, like so vividly. And I was freaking creeped out. And like you said, like, I took about a week probably to get through the first half of it because I just was so afraid to pick it up. And like, maybe not halfway, but like while I was reading it, I kept, like I said, I was like, okay, who is sane, who's not sane? I kept forgetting, like, okay, this is a Grady Hendrix book. Like, anything is possible with his books. Like, is this happening or is this in someone's mind?
Yes. If it's like, being written, it is most likely happening.
Especially because, like, I feel like we learned that with book club, the vampire book club, because
there was weird stuff.
There's like literally something that happened that was like, she was walking down and looked in an alley and like a vampire was there like sucking someone's blood or something, and she got like attacked or something like that, and you're just like, okay, is this like for real? And it's like, oh no, this is for real.
This is,
and so I was like, was reminding myself while I was reading this, like, okay, anything that Grady writes in here is like actually happening, because there are times where like even the characters start to question themselves of like, what's going on? Yeah. Like, am I losing my mind? And I'm like, I think you are. But like in the long run, it's like, no, there's actually something really crazy happening.
I was gonna say, and I do love and respect the fact that like when other characters learn about what's happening, none of them are like, that's crazy. They're like, okay, well then how do we address this? They're like,
Yeah. I did like that. I thought that element was so interesting and so creative of like, all right, let's get rid of this. How are we going to get rid of this, you know, haunted situation at this house or whatever? And I think that probably helped the characters ground themselves as well, because like I said, like, I think that Mark and Louise at different times were like, who is, you know, who is crazy and who is sane here and what's happening? And then when you have these outside characters coming in and being like, oh no, yeah, yep, yep, that makes sense. Or yep, let's figure that out. Mm-hmm. Let's all that, like, it, I think helped.
Or like, I have a friend that knows exactly how to deal with this.
Yeah. And there's like, okay, so I'm not crazy. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and they just like at one point, like each of them in two different situations, like spill their guts to somebody of like, I don't really know what I'm doing and blah, blah, blah. And this is what happened. And they just like, let it all out, like all the stuff that has happened, like all these things that have built up over the years in their family and stuff like that, like comes spilling out and in their personal lives and stuff. And it's like, okay, now that I can trust you and you think that I'm not going crazy, I need to like spill my guts and I need to get this out so I don't, like, so I can vocalize it and then not feel like a crazy person.
Yeah. And then get help.
And then get help and have people help you. So I gave it a 3.5 stars because I really did enjoy that second half of like the problem solving and how everything kind of came together and how things were resolved and you figure out like what, you know, why the house is haunted and stuff like that and what they can do about it. And there's some like crazy stuff that happens. Like I said, I devoured like the second half of it in such a short amount of time. But like there again, like the main element that this book is about, like the hauntedness of the book took me by such surprise in like a negative way, because it like just freaks me out. I feel like I just had to like, I just knocked it down because it wasn't like I wasn't enjoying it. Like, I wasn't like, oh my gosh. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, this is maybe like, it was like not, yeah, it just wasn't as enjoyable to get through because I wasn't like, ooh, a vampire. It was like, ooh, something creepy just happened, or like the TV turned on again. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this stuff is so scary. So I texted you a few different like movies or books that I thought this was like kind of a combination of. And we, I don't know about him specifically, but we do know that some other authors like to have a basis like that of like, this is a classic story. I'm going to flip it on its head. But I don't think Grady does that. I think he just gets inspired by some of those elements, like a vampire or like a final girl or like a haunted house, and then like just spins it and takes it wherever he wants.
Incredibly different way than you would ever expect.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yes. So it's impressive for sure.
But I kind of feel bad like giving it a little bit lower of a rating, but I do think it was just because the actual like meat of the story I wasn't like enjoying. I wasn't like enthralled by it. Like, oh my goodness, you know, it was like, I can do it, I can get through it, and I'm like, let's just see where this goes.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's kind of where I was leaning with it. And I, again, it was a really interesting ending, and like something crazy happens, like super gory, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. Yeah, so many crazy things. The latter half of the book just kept me turning page after page after page. More so, like you said, than the first half. So definitely props to that, because I think I could have even given a little bit lower if that second half didn't pick up so much. And the latter half of the book just like literally had me turning page after page after page. And if that hadn't like kept me enthralled, I feel like I could have got really caught up in the element of the story that I was struggling with. And if there wasn't that momentum, then I feel like I probably even could have rated it lower than I actually did. Because like, if there wasn't that hook that was drawing me in and like helping me kind of like solve this mystery of this latter half, and it was just more creepy stuff all the time, as in like, creepy haunting stuff. I feel like I would have struggled more to get through it, which then would have like knocked my rating down a little bit more. But I didn't.
I totally agree. Like it kind of taking a twist and be like, okay, why is this happening? How can we solve it? Was very good. Like I remember I put the book down Wednesday night at a part where it was like, it seemed like the threat had been vanquished, but there was a solid 100-something pages left. And I was like, I'm excited to see what's going to happen. And I thought it had a very good pacing to it. I thought it had a very good like story to it. And I agree that like it took turns when it was running, like when right before you'd start getting tired of a certain element, it would switch on you and be like, okay, now we're focusing on this. Now we're focusing on this, because it wasn't always we were in this haunted house the entire story, like venue changed, setting changed. But the aspect of how do we deal with the elements of this house continued to carry the story. But I liked that it wasn't just like 300, 400 pages of being freaked out in a haunted house. I thought he did a good job of kind of introducing various elements and changing settings in a way that made it more intriguing to keep reading.
Definitely. Okay, well, I feel like we've done a fairly good job of giving a good overall view of the story, and the characters were really interesting. I feel like, did you like the character development overall, or do you feel like some of that was lacking? Was that anything in your rating?
I think that the character development was good. I don't think much of the characters affected my rating. I will say like the only thing is like I wish there was more of a conclusion with Ian, which is like Louise's her baby daddy. Like there's like this one moment where he like tries to come on to her like near the like middle end of the book, and she's way too stressed out to do anything about it, and then like he's never mentioned again.
Yeah,
like that's the last he's mentioned. Like,
well, he's hardly even mentioned. Like the only reason that he's mentioned is because like he's watching her daughter, but she really paints that picture of like, I chose to do this on my own. Like, I wanted to have a kid myself, by myself. So I don't know, like, if there ever really was a place in their relationship where he was wanting to be there full time.
That I wanted that. It was just, like, a super weird thing where it was, like, he was kind of, like, a character that we would see pop in every once in a while. And I'm surprised that there wasn't, like,
it seemed a like conclusion.
They yeah, a conclusion. They had a very, like, kind of strained relationships as co-parents, because, like, every time they spoke, they were, like, arguing. And so I kind of wish that there would have been, like, some sort of conclusion, because, like, the last time he sees her, she's acting very erratically about something that's going on, and then he, like kind of threatens her, and then he, like, tries to come on to her, and then, like, that's it. So I kind of wish that that was, like, I feel like that's the only little, like, piece of character development that I feel like didn't really get wrapped up very well. But, like, there were other characters whose perspectives, obviously, like, things, characters like Mark, that you, like, change your perspective on as you, like, learn more about the character. Yeah. And I appreciate the way that him and Louise, I don't think we explained, Mark's her brother, that their relationship gets reformed through this traumatic time. That was the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. That's a good little element for sure.
All right. Do we want to move into a spoiler section?
All right. Let's do spoiler section.
All right. In like 3, 2, 1. Okay. So I did not know it was going to be about dolls and puppets.
Creepy puppets. I was like, freaking Chucky. It's like a Chucky book. I didn't sign up for that. What the frick?
I know. And here's the thing. I thought it was going to be more about, like, the various different dolls coming to life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it, like, super focused on Pupkin.
Yeah. Pumpkin?
I think it's Pupkin.
Is it there an N in there?
No, it's P-U-P-K-I-N.
Pupkin.
Pupkin.
Are you sure? I thought it was Pumpkin.
It's not. It's Pupkin.
P-U-P-K-I-N. Are you sure? Are you looking at it?
Positive. No, I remember because I kept thinking it's going to be Pumpkin. And then I was like, no, maybe he's like a dog. Pumpkin. But he's not a dog. It's not. It's P-U-P-K-I-N.
I'm going to look at it. It's Pupkin. Yeah, Pupkin.
I told you.
Creepy puppet.
Super creepy puppet. And like, I thought it would be like interesting if like various different like dolls came to life and various different puppets. And you see that originally like with the squirrel nativity and like,
oh my gosh, that was so freaking creepy.
So creepy. And like the Mark and Louise dolls moving around. And
yeah, eventually, I thought it should be more of just like everything all to like,
yeah,
all, the house all just coming to life in different ways. But then it turns out that Pupkin is like running the show.
Yeah.
He's like the mastermind. And then when you get into like, so there are some chapters in Mark's perspective. And honestly, like, the transition to his perspectives, like, when the chapters changed his perspective, I didn't even blink an eye. I just immediately knew somehow I was in Mark's perspective. I don't know how that happened, but I was like, this is Mark now. I could tell that was him talking. It was crazy. I even realized myself, I was like, did they indicate that that was him? And I just got confirmed by, like, how the writing was. And, like,
the writing was different.
Yeah, I could tell there was something about it.
And you know what? I loved it. I loved
the way he wrote
Mark's perspective. It was so cool.
Yeah, and I just thought it was so crazy because then you get into, like, what Pupkin meant to him and how he joined this, like, just, like, I'm, like, also kind of laughing. Like, a radical, like, puppet, like,
collective, company. Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck is this? This is so weird. Like, I mean, there's weird stuff out there.
Puppets to go against the war.
Yeah, that was odd. So anyway, I like really enjoyed being in Mark's perspective, and I like was questioning what, you know, his story and how he was, because he seemed really brass and he seemed kind of like all over the place and insensitive and stuff like that. But you can see, like, as time went on, you can see where all of that was coming from and like the struggles that he had and the ways that he was dealing with his own past, but then also like never being able to tell his parents like the truth of like what happened when he went to college and stuff like that. And so just knowing that like Pupkin was there through all of that, and like the fact that he was like, and then our leader put Pupkin on and like talked in the same high voice.
Oh my
and
I was gosh, like, that oh. was so creepy.
And then it was like, we're gonna run around and pretend to be Pupkins. And it just was like he was in like a daze, like, and he was like, I would be in Pupkin's mind and then I would run around and I would just do anything I wanted, and I would wake up and I would be like, how did I do this, how did I get here, what's going on? It was like he was under like a spell, like a trance or something. And like
they would end up like eating people's pets.
Yeah, how that freaking gross.
So creepy. He like found like someone's
the collar
oh my god,
even So it's just like, and then like they like tormented this girl, and he accidentally even like set this house on fire that had his friends inside.
Yeah.
And you just like are like, oh my gosh, this guy went through a ton of horrible stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, eventually
it reminded me, I know you haven't read it, and I'm not gonna spoil anything for you because wait, I still think you should read it.
Are you in
it,
the bathroom?
No, I'm not. I am in the kitchen.
Oh, it sounded really echoey. I was like, we have moved location.
I did come to the kitchen to grab a bedtime snack. But no, it reminds me of Elements, and I won't give them away. It reminds me the part of like not knowing what you're doing, kind of being in a trance, reminds me of Elements from The Secret History.
Oh, yeah. I've not read that.
Mm-mm. You still should. I didn't love it as much as I wanted to.
Yeah.
But there's elements like that in there where, like, they are doing stuff that makes them not aware of what's going on, but they are still capable of moving their bodies, and not great things happen in
result. So very similar. Okay. I would say, too, like, learning about Pumpkin and, like, this, like, just the way that he, like, would come to life and stuff. I was like, what is happening? And then the part that you were talking about that creeped you out, and it creeped me out too. I was like, oh my gosh, was when freaking Louise comes back to California and she sees that Poppy, her daughter, has crafted her own Pumpkin doll. And it is literally Pumpkin talking in the same high voice. So it's like this like spirit, like Pumpkin is like the spirit that is encompassed in this specific looking typed doll that like comes to life when people create it in like a physical form. And it is crazy.
It's like she had never seen Pumpkin before ever, and Pumpkin had been by Louise, like she had burned Pumpkin, the original one. And like while that's happening, Poppy is like in San Francisco like crafting the real Pumpkin again from like a memory that she doesn't even have of him. So sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. It's very creepy.
Yeah. So I think that get some water.
I got some.
So she, when she sees that and she like goes nuts and tries to like rip it off of Poppy's hand, like Ian is like, what are you doing? But I mean, could you imagine though, like she comes home, she's not been home for a few weeks, and then she's like insanely like going off at like the only thing that's been keeping Poppy like somewhat happy. And it was just crazy because like the way that like he was describing it was that like Pumpkin was like sucking the life out of Poppy, and like Poppy was going away and Pumpkin was becoming stronger and stuff like that. And I was like, what is happening? This thing can never die.
Oh my gosh, I know. I was like, how are they ever going to get rid of it? Like I couldn't figure it out.
I know. So I really liked when they were like, hey, family, we need help. And they're like, all right, let's go. We're going to go cast this demon out.
Yeah.
We're going to pray about it. I was like, yes, this is awesome. I was like, let's do it. And then the lady was like really trying to like understand like why Pumpkin was not going away and why he was getting stronger and stuff like that. And eventually you find out that Pumpkin was a ghost and
of a
person. And when they find out who the ghost is, I kind of want to not tell this part because it's like a really good twist.
Okay, that's fine.
But when you find out who that ghost is, it's like, oh man. And then it's like, we need answers now. Like family secrets are gone. Like we need. And it reminded me a little bit of our family.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
like we have some family members that are going to like take some secrets to their grave if someone doesn't sit them down and force them to tell the truth.
Some of our family members have literally pestered these people multiple times and they still won't give.
Eventually, hopefully we will get the truth out. But it's like, come on. And then when they find out, then that's where the cascade happens, where they're able to actually figure out how to have Pumpkin go away 100%. And I will say there was one little moment where Pumpkin was about to go away forever and you just heard his little whisper like, I'm scared. And you're so like, oh,
but you're like, evil.
I know, it's like, but you're evil, but that's sad. Like that was like, oh, because you like understand where Pupkin's coming from, like towards the end, but like Pupkin is cray. So like I don't understand.
Literally crazy when Pupkin took a knife and started cutting into Poppy's arm while attached to Poppy. I could not.
Yeah. And Poppy's like, I don't feel anything. And you're like, oh my gosh.
It is terrifying. So freaking
creepy. But anyway, yeah. So I just feel like overall Grady did such a good job of like crafting something super unique, but it was to the point where I was like, I can't even with puppets, like, and like the people take it seriously, and like with the whole thing with him doing the rebellion, I'm like, what am I reading?
I know. Now?
Like, what the frick? But like, I did enjoy understanding where Pupkin came from, who the haunted, like, the person who was haunting, who was haunting, and stuff like that. And I just really liked when all of that was resolved, and then you could actually feel like they could move forward. And I thought that that was really good.
I will say the creepiest things for me, the things that really creep me out. Spider, the imaginary dog.
Okay.
Terrifying. I thought that was so creepy. when Mark got his arm sawed off.
Yeah. That was crazy.
That was wild as crap.
That took like a long time. Like, you would think like, and the saw like cut through his arm and he's cried off in pain, like one sentence. And here's Grady like, we're going to talk to you about all the tendons I'm cutting through and each individual bone that's going to be cut through and then all the blood that will happen. And you're like, it took like two pages. I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
it took forever to cut that guy's arm off.
I know. And he's like screaming in pain. I'm like, is this really happening? He's like, yes. And then Mark's like, you freaking cut my arm off. Like, they cannot save it.
You told me to. He's like, oh, I thought they could reattach it.
I don't even remember him saying, cut my arm off.
He didn't. It was like this thing where like they were like looking at each other and she was like, and I knew what I needed to do. Like he didn't say it, but like said it.
I was like, I don't even remember that. I thought like, I mean, there was like no way else he would have got Pupkin off. Like I can see where it was like, this is like last resort. Like we're going to have to do this. But that was just so crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, he actually lost an arm over a puppet. That was crazy. Wild.
that part was creepy. And then the other part that I thought was absolutely wild. Excuse me. Is when it's at the very end and they're at the house. And then all of a sudden, all of the puppets string together to create
one giant, massive,
like
creature type thing that was like coming after them. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Picturing it in my head, I just was like, it was terrifying. And the part that was crazy too is like Louise was like looking at it and she was still like being able to identify the individual puppets like by name. She'd be like, there's blah 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 and there's blah blah blah, all like strung together.
Terrifying. Yeah. That's creepy.
All right. I agree. Are we done with our spoiler section?
I think so. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like there's nothing else other to spoil except for the identity of the ghost, and we said we weren't gonna do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to. It's a really good little part of the story. So
it is really good. Okay. And we are back from our spoiler section.
Matt's been coughing up a storm.
I have been coughing so much. I will say overall, like I said, this is not my favorite Grady Hendrix book, but I do think that it's very enjoyable. It has like more... It has more of like a classic horror feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, I feel like other books have been very much like, and not like, it's not like this is any more realistic, but it seems to stem from a little bit more of a, I don't know. It reminds me a little bit more of a Southern Book Club Guide to Slaying Vampires, because it's like a Southern town. It's all relatively normal. And then until suddenly it's not. And it like reminds me a little bit more of like the classic horror-y situation where it's like just an average town, just average people. And you're like, how will this ever turn into a horror movie or a horror book? And then it does. Versus like Final Girl support group already had like an element of like creepiness with all of them being final girls. This one was literally just like, these parents died. Now we gotta go empty out the house, blah, blah, blah. How will this ever turn creepy? And then it does. So I appreciated that because I feel like it had me questioning and second guessing, like, how is this ever going to be crazy the whole time? And so it allowed for an element of surprise.
See, I knew it was going to be super creepy right away, because when she like showed up at the house and like she turned the TV off.
Oh, true.
And then she turned around and the TV was back on. I was like,
ugh. Oh my God. Like, that that's why I thought it was going to be more of like a haunted house. Like the house itself is haunted, like, situation.
Versus a little bit more of like
something specific.
Something is, yeah, there is something controlling the house, you could say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could say, yeah, like that.
Cray, cray.
Ooh, ooh, but the end, this is kind of spoilery. The end with when they could smell something in the house, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like,
yeah, that was weird.
It was pretty interesting. And then they just like, they're just like, and we're leaving.
I was like, they were, but it was like trying to be like a positive end. And I was like, you could have just left it alone. That's so weird. Like, yeah, no, no, no.
I was like, that's no, no. Weird. Like, ooh. Oh, well, I hope they sell the house.
I hope they did. No, I think they said they did, because they had it had remodeled and stuff.
Oh, like, yeah, that. They had like a potential buyer, someone, yeah, coming from Canada or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phew.
Get that off their plate.
Uh-huh.
All right, so there's no announcement of a next Grady Hendrix book, but I'm sure that there will be one eventually.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think Final Girl Support Group, I don't think came out last year. I think it might have been.
I think it was. I think it, yeah, I think it's been like a 2 year thing. Like,
I think so.
Have a year, a book with, have a year when a book comes out, have a year off, have another one, have off. Like, I think it's been like rotation like that.
Yeah.
So I think, obviously, as you know, it can take a while for books to get published and whatnot and get it out onto the shelves and plus writing everything. So I think, you know, who knows if he is working on something, that if he is, it could be like he's still working on it. It hasn't been edited yet, or there's the whole like working through.
That's true.
The like getting everything published and get the cover design. Like, there's so many elements and things of like tweaking stuff that can take a lot longer than you would anticipate. So they're probably, you know, by the time the book would be ready to, you know, come out, that's when you would start to see the advertisements for it. So like, there's a lot of build up to the release of a book. So like those authors that are like, I have a book come out every year, it's like because they've been working on like multiple books probably at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's,
we can't, yeah, forget too, this book came out in January, so if he's going to announce another book, it may be relatively soon.
Maybe by the end of the year.
By the end of the year, yeah, if he wants to. I don't know when this one was announced, but I mean, it's not like this one came out last month and he's got 2 years from now. Like, if he's going to keep doing, yeah, the 2 year mark, it may be. Honestly, actually, it was about a year and a half. Final Girl Support Group came out in July of 2021.
Okay, yeah. So it could be, it could even be like next summer, like a year from now for us.
Yeah. So maybe he'll announce.
We'll see. Soon. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. So, Haley, what book are you reading right now then?
I knew you were going to ask me, and so I'm looking. I pulled from my shelf, what's it called? What am I new? Stop crunching over there. I knew that you were going to ask me, and I pulled a book off the shelf, but now I can't look, like I cannot see it. I think it is the Connelly's. What is it? The Connellys.
Oh, the Connellys of Country Down or something.
Yes, yes. The Tracy Lang. Mm-hmm. I might be reading that because it's short. But it seems kind of similar vibes to like, well, not similar as in storyline, but like The Half Moon, where it's a little bit more like character driven.
What
I don't
are
know
you
if
doing
I have...
reading all my contemporary fiction books?
Sorry. But I do have like still so many that are on my TBR. Like, I could read Happy Place. I've not read that yet. I could read Lessons in Chemistry. I could read Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. I could read like.
You could read I Have Some Questions for You.
I Have Some Questions for You. I like, you know, something that hopefully would be really easy to get through. And I think the only reason I pulled the Connellys is because it's a really short looking book. It's like very skinny. And I thought if I could get any more books done before my new season of exams start to kick in, this could be the one because it's just so short. But yeah, I don't know. I for sure knew that I needed to get the How to Sell a Haunted House done. So, but I'm just not sure exactly what I have lined up, because like I said, my exams are starting to pick up again. And so I'm not sure how much free time I am going to have to be able to just read on the side. Exams. Ugh, who needs them?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So who knows? Hopefully by next week I will have something to say, but I will say I did read a second book this week that you maybe don't know. Yeah.
When?
In my spare time. I also read Beyond the Wand by Tom Felton.
Oh yes, I knew this.
I listened to it on audiobook. That was my very first audiobook that I listened to from start to finish. Yes.
Did you listen it to on Audible or Libby?
I did. Nope, Audible.
Nice.
Yeah, Max read it. He bought it on Audible and he read it. And so I have his account logged in. And so I just picked it up and it was only like 6 hours. And I was like, yeah, I listened to like 6 hours of a podcast within a week. I could for sure like whip that up. So I did, and it was really enjoyable. And I think if I do more audio books, I think I would need to do more like those nonfiction people talking to me, because I just don't think I could do like someone reading to me like fiction, because I think it would take forever. Like I feel like they would talk too slow for me. So
totally agree. Also, if you ever want to log into my Audible account, you totally can. And I have plenty of wonderful audiobooks I could recommend to you that are all like people telling their own stories. One of the ones actually that I listened to like a year ago that I was actually just thinking about today, because I was thinking about how funny it was, which is what is it? It's A Very Punchable Face by Colin Jost. Right? Yeah, A Very Punchable Face. He's the guy that's married to Scarlett Johansson and he does the Weekend Update on SNL, or did the Weekend Update.
Okay, I'd have to see his face. I think I know who it is, but I'm not confident.
It is such a funny book. He talks about how he grew up on Staten Island, and he talks about just, I don't know, the randomest stuff. I listened to it December 2021. I just sent it to you. It is so funny. I loved it. I think it's only like 4.5, maybe 5.
That guy looks so young compared to her.
I think that this cover was from a while ago. He published it in 2020.
I mean, they cannot be close in age. I'm looking this up right now.
Who are you going to look up first?
Scarlett.
Okay, I'll look up Colin.
Okay, I have her age.
Okay, what's her age?
How about we say it at the same time?
Okay, ready?
Three, two, three. 38. What?
He's older.
You're kidding.
Yeah. He's got no facial hair.
He's 41.
He's 41.
He looks like he's like 27.
Yeah, he does look extremely young. And he shares some really interesting details about like what it's like to work at SNL. I listened to Tina Fey's book as well, and she gave details about working at SNL as well. And it's brutal. Like it is. Yeah. They work so freaking hard. But anyway, I have that on Audible. If you ever wanted to log into mine and listen to it, it's very good. As well as Born a Crime by Trevor Noah, which is also very good, that you should listen to.
Yes, you've told me. I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think you should listen to it. So
what are you reading? Yes, I am. That's why I just asked you.
Okay. I was like, excuse me. My turn. Anyway, I am reading The Soulmate by Sally Hepworth.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Borrowed from you. You just.
I'm intrigued.
Your review, your thing of like, I didn't, it has to be my dislike, but I don't really want it to be a dislike, but it's like a 3.5 star or whatever you rated it.
Yeah, yeah.
Your review of it intrigued me, so I borrowed it from you. And I have a huge stack of Book of the Months that I've been very behind on because I was reading library books for a while. But I figured I will treat your book like a library book and I'll read it first.
It won't take you long. It took me like 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just getting into it, but I'm already really intrigued by the premise. I have my own theory about it already, but
Should just message me later your theory so we don't spoil it for the lit listeners.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Anyway, that is what I'm reading. What you're reading.
what we just finished reading. I hope you guys enjoyed this review. I'm so sorry for my coughing in it. Let me tell you, it's more annoying for me than it is for you. And for my crackling, I'm so sorry, but I was hungry. thank you guys so much for taking a break from reading and listening to this episode of Let's Just Haley. Do you have anything else to say?
Nope.
Okay. Great. All right, you guys, thanks for taking a break from reading. Now go flip some pages.